WATD's political forum continues. Now, back to Studio B. Here's your moderator, Christine James.
And that's right. I am Christine James, and we're back in studio after that quick commercial break. You were just listening to the 12th Plymouth District. Now we're going to go to the 1st Plymouth District and the candidates. These are the two Democrats that are hoping to unseat the Republican, and that, of course, would be Matt Muratori, who holds the seat. We've got John Mahoney in studio. Thanks for joining us again.
Oh, thank you, Christine. Wonderful to be here.
Okay, delighted to see you. Stephen Michael Palmer, nice to see you as well, wearing your trademark suit. And did you have your straw boater on, too? There you go, and bringing flowers
to
us.
Got it out of Harvard Square 40 years ago.
Very nice. It looks like it is holding up well. I'm Christine James, your moderator, along with Kevin Tachi here, the host of Monday Night Talk, Asking Questions, and WATD's Charles Mathewson. Now, the 1st Plymouth District, this is a face-off again. These guys ran the last time around. If you're not quite sure what the 1st Plymouth District is, it is precincts 2 to 8, 10, 11, 12, 14 and 15 in Plymouth. Our format, the same as we always use. We ask the candidates to have prepared opening and closing statements. Opening 2 minutes, closing no longer than in 2 minutes, but if you can make it shorter, that's fine too. There's no limit. You don't have to have it two minutes. Now, we have a round of questions from our reporters. We also have a lightning round, and that is where the answers are either yes or no or two sentences tops. And we're using, we try to keep things mixing it up a little bit too. Now, remember, we've got a timer here. That's our own Jeffrey Morrissey. And Jeffrey has three cards. Green means go. Thank you. That was just like Vanna. Yellow means you got 10 seconds, and red means stop. If you're still talking when the red card comes up, that's right. You're done. Okay, so we got to keep your answers to a minute unless it's a rebuttal, and I say it's 30 seconds. So it's radio, got to keep it moving. And at the end, if we have enough time, we'll hope we'll have a few minutes for you folks to ask each other a question or two. Now, just moments ago, out of the official WATD Newsroom koozie, we chose opening and closing order. We're going to begin with Stephen Michael Palmer, then go to John Mahoney, and at the end, we switch it, start with John Mahoney, and then go to Stephen Michael Palmer. So good evening, gentlemen, and let's start now with Stephen Michael Palmer, your opening statement to our listeners.
So how long do I have for this?
2 minutes.
Everyone has probably heard my saying that all politics is local. Everyone in the 1st Plymouth District can attest about the action and what they have seen my work signs around the district. Whether it would be taking care of a baseball field or raking leaves for an elderly woman in Beaver Dam Road, or taking care of the baseball field at the Ponds of Plymouth. I'm a servant for this community, a servant for the people. The people of Plymouth need a representative that is about action, block by block, neighborhood by neighborhood. I'm out in the community. When I get to Beacon Hill, I will speak for the people that are in these neighborhoods, not for special interest groups. The people are my only special interest groups. I'm especially interested in the advocating for the people of 1st Plymouth. When you think about the term public servant, consider this. I'm not about closing doors for business interest in Beacon Hill. I'm a public servant. I will not be compromised. We had too many politicians up in Beacon Hill for private gains. With Stephen Michael Palmer, what you see in public servant. I'm a servant for the public that will not change.
Thank you. That was Stephen Michael Palmer, his opening statement. Now we're going to go to John Mahoney, your opening statement for our listeners.
Thanks, Christine. Good to see you again. Charlie, Kevin, always a pleasure. Good evening. My name is John Mahoney. It's been an honor for me to serve as a member of the Plymouth Board of Selectmen for the last 8 years. Prior to that, I was fortunate enough to be a member of the Finance and Advisory Board, and I was also elected member of the legislative body in Plymouth, the town meeting member from Precinct 3. I've resided in Plymouth for almost 20 years. Two children, one of which is a 2006 graduate of Plymouth North High School and a 2010 graduate of Cornell University. And I have a son who in a week or two will begin his fifth grade year at Cold Spring Elementary in North Plymouth. I'm running for state representative in the 1st Plymouth District because I believe my experience and outside-the-box thinking will be an asset to not only the district, but to the citizens and taxpayers of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. It is often said that government needs to be run like a business. I hear this a lot. I don't see anybody in practicality actually applying that statement, typically said by politicians. My primary approach over the last 8 years has been financial. Responsible handling of the taxpayers' dollars and treating that money as if it was my own. Textbook example, we're making a $38 million investment in our downtown, in a new town hall and the refurbishing of the 1820 courthouse. We sponsored a home rule petition to segregate out the meals tax revenue. The entire $38 million of that project will be covered by the meals tax revenue, which 40 to 60% of that revenue comes from people that don't live in Plymouth, the state, or the United States of America. So that's $16 to $25 million of that investment anchoring the downtown area will come from people that don't live in town. And we did that to prevent the money from going into the general fund where it would have been lost into the black hole. And we would have, so the key to the whole thing was that we earmarked it. You got something in return for your dollar. And if I'm sent up to Beacon Hill, these are the smart, sensible decisions that I will make with the state's tax revenue.
Thank you very much. That was John Mahoney with his opening statement. Now we're going to go to Kevin Tachi, the host of Monday Night Talk. Questions for our candidates and who they are directed at.
I think probably one of the top things, especially for this district, would be the closing of the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Station, poised to close in 2019. If elected, how would you, as a state rep, help to make sure that Entergy does the right thing in regards to closing down that site and expedite the transfer of spent nuclear fuel to dry cask storage?
And let's keep your answers to a minute. Let's start with John Mahoney.
Well, very difficult situation there, Kevin. Obviously, prior to getting on the board in 2008, I knew, and I have a problem with politicians thinking in basically 5 or 30-second increments because it feathers their political nest. I knew before I got on the board that that plant was going to close. And the town had been over-reliant on the revenue in that plant for 4 decades. So I pushed for and got a mitigation fund, which currently has $4 million in it. Now, when you have taken in over $1 billion in 46 years from the plant and you only have $4 million in a fund, it's more of a psychological win than anything. The single greatest problem with respect to your question is that the federal government, the Congress, and the United States Senate has built the NRC up to where they are basically omnipotent. Local and state officials don't have a very little impact with regards to that plant. We want to go into a decommissioning as soon as possible. We don't want safe store. We want to transfer as much spent fuel as possible into the dry cask storage.
1 minute. And, you know, if you feel like you don't get to answer your questions fully, you can save any of this towards the end and use that in your final statement. We'll probably revisit that issue anyway. Stephen Michael Palmer, same question.
The NRC is untouchable. To hear these selectmen say that, you know, we're going to be doing this and we're going to be doing that is terrible because, in my opinion, they're lying to you. I did vote for the $4 million that John was talking about, earmark for when the power plant closes. I'm glad John understands that he's a mind reader and he knew that the power plant was closing. That's a wonderful thing, John. I tip my hat off to you on that. But the NRC is untouchable. We can sit here and you can, Ed Tachi, that's a great question, but the answer is we're untouchable. They, you know, this is federal government. We're peons compared to the federal government. I mean, those dry casks should be out there in Nevada, but, you know, the person that owns that hill out there that the dry cask was supposed to go to was a major supporter of Obama. They're not going to put them there.
Thank you. That was 1 minute. Charles Mathewson, your question for the candidates.
Governor Baker proposed a 3-day limit for opioid prescriptions. The legislature changed that to a 7-day limit. If you were in the legislature in the last session, would you have voted for the 3-day limit or the 7-day limit? John Mahoney.
This is one of those The first two questions out of the box tonight are probably the two most important issues in the district. I said from the beginning I had a problem with the overprescribing of the these drugs whenever they're needed after a surgery or something like that. And one of the problems we had to do was not only on the back end, was to provide more, you know, beds as far as treatment facilities and things of that nature, but we had to cut it off at the source and reduce the amount of, you know, medication that was being prescribed to begin with. I don't know what the rationale was to shoot down Governor Baker's 3 and go to 7, but certainly, as far as I'm concerned, and I've had, you know, Percocets prescribed to me before, I never used them. You know, I was in discomfort after surgery, but I wasn't in pain. As a general statement, we are over-prescribed, and I would need a little bit more information to tell you, Charlie, whether the 3 or the 7, but I would have no problem erring on the side of caution.
Thank you. 1 minute.
And going with the 3.
Charlie, same question?
Same question, Stephen Michael Palmer.
John, you didn't answer the question. It was supposed to be 3 or 7. Mine is 7. Hopefully... You know, that I've taken mental health patients into my home and homeless people into my home, and I know firsthand what medicine does. And it's a fact that we really have to concentrate on, you know, stopping it. I mean, to hear about it and all the overdoses and, you know, the deaths that has conquered this drug, it's terrible. And, you know, I just wish they'd stop making it and, you know, just not put it out to the public like they weigh. You know, it's kind of like the EBT cards. Let's have some more.
Thank you very much. That was Stephen Michael Palmer. Medicinal marijuana facility for Plymouth. Good idea or bad idea? Stephen Michael Palmer.
Well, let's say California's got a cash cow of $2.5 billion this year. They're going to grow 100 million tons of it, okay? And here we are in Plymouth, and you know we're gonna give them opiums instead of marijuana. So you know let's switch off. You know, marijuana's coming here. It's coming. So you know let's. I'm not saying welcome it, but the fact is we shouldn't stop it from coming. With the opium epidemic we have, what's a joint?
So you think, in other words, medical marijuana facility in Plymouth, you're okay with that?
I'd like to see it come right down Long Pond Road.
Okay. Same question, John Mahoney.
Sure. So I can assure you with 100% certainty, there is no such thing as a cash cow, because government does not do a good job of handling revenue streams, and I can be very specific about that. I think the state is Colorado. I don't believe for a moment that they have solved any sort of issues out there as far as revenue streams and reducing dependency on this drug. We are going to get a facility in Plymouth. It was coming. We didn't have a choice. And I can tell you that I'm not against medicinal marijuana. I am against, we're probably going to get to that later on, obviously the legalization of marijuana. But the hypocrisy is, and we entered into an agreement with one of the facilities for a pilot program, so a payment in lieu of taxes for a 5-year deal for up to $300,000 a year. So we put a cap on it, $300,000 a year. And we were told that whatever revenue we got from the facility, we had to divert to the schools. And the question was, when I asked why, and it was because we had to educate people not to smoke marijuana.
That was 1 minute. Okay, now let's go to Kevin Tachi. Questions for the candidates.
All right, yeah, and these are specific questions. We'll start with John. If elected, what can you do at the state level to help stimulate economic development, growth, job growth within your district?
We have a very... So as a member of the executive board, I believe that you hire competent individuals to manage for you. And we have an individual right now that's in charge of economic development, and she's probably as good as anybody in the state of Massachusetts. I can tell you right now, Kevin, that over the 60-year time frame, from New Year's Day of 72 to New Year's Eve of 2031, if you put together a list of communities in New England that didn't have a revenue problem over that 60-year time frame, Plymouth is number one.
We have $500 million of private sector investment in the queue over the next 4 to 6 years. We don't have a revenue problem. We have a problem with what we do with our revenue.
Same question for Steve Michael Palmer?
No, I have a different question for Steve Michael Palmer. Your opening statement, you talk about your volunteer work. You talk about fixing fences, looking at your website, cutting grass, picking up trash, painting over graffiti. I want to know how that translates into your ability to be an effective legislator if you're elected.
Dedication, endurance, honesty, integrity.
And is that all from, again, the question is, how do you translate from what you do as a volunteer to being able to be an effective legislator, a lawmaker, and do things to help your district?
I've been helping my district as a town meeting member in Plymouth. I don't know if you know that or not. But my vote is very conservative. I didn't vote for the new Plymouth High School that's across the street from my house, that's Plymouth South. My children went to school there. One is still going there. Nothing wrong with that school, but we needed a new school. We needed a new high school. And that was voted on with the selectmen, and it came to the town meeting, and I voted against it. Then we decided we needed a new town hall. The town hall's taking my taxes. 10 years down the road, your new town hall is going to be on your cell phone, the way things are going. I didn't vote for the new town hall because the other one was working well. Okay, and for the new $48 million sewer line, I didn't vote for that either. So I'm a conservative when I go up there. I'm a working class American Irish Catholic Democrat, okay? I go to work every day. I'm an activist. I'm a community activist.
Thank you, Stephen Michael Palmer.
Thank you, Stephen.
Question, Charles Mathewson.
I've asked this question in previous races, but let's have an update. If elected, which committee assignment would you prefer and why? John?
Charlie, I'm probably going to give you the same answer I gave you 2 years ago. All right.
It's okay.
I consider myself lucky and very fortunate if I'm able to get elected to this seat and get up to Beacon Hill. But obviously, in a perfect world, I think the one that everybody wants to get to is Ways and Means.
Yeah.
Stephen?
Oh, I know those boys up there at the State House. You know, I've run against Bulger, I've run against Murray, and, you know, I'm probably get the office next to the woman's bathroom down there in the cellar if I get elected, because I'm not going in as one of the good old boy political network. You know, I'm the person in the middle that wants to represent the working class. The guy in the middle doesn't think he has say in matters anymore because he can and he won't play the political ball game. I'm not going to be sitting at $1,000 plates dinner to get a job or promotion in return. Oh yeah, I want to get it in the House of Ways and Means.
Thank you.
Okay. Questions for each one of you. Let's start with you, Stephen Michael Palmer. On your website, you're pushing to ban handheld phones while driving. You don't think the state's distracted driving laws and ban on texting are doing enough already?
Are you out of your mind? Is that a question to me for you?
That's a question.
Is that the way you think?
No, I'm asking you a question.
Why don't you answer the question? Why don't we go again on that?
What I
think is a phone call more important than somebody's life out there?
I'm asking you a
question.
That's
what we're doing here.
You don't need to shout. Just answer the question.
Well, I want you to hear me. That's what I want you to do.
I can hear you. You can stop shouting. Just answer the question.
The question is a phone call more important than somebody's life? Don't take your hands off the wheel. I don't care if you're putting lipstick on, having a cup of coffee. White knuckles, 2 in 10. Get it straight. How many accidents you want to see more? How many more deaths you want to see out there on the road?
So you don't
Whatever happened to driver's education?
So you don't think distracted driving laws aren't enforced enough already? It wouldn't cover it? I'm just asking.
What are they covering? The person that's going to get whacked because he's got a cell phone in his hand and he's not looking at the road?
I guess you answered the question. Now let's go to John Mahoney, your question. You're in your third term, I guess, as a Plymouth selectman.
Correct.
Can you describe a specific initiative that you've championed or spearheaded in your time on the board?
Well, I can tell you right now, obviously, I mentioned earlier, over-reliant on the power plant revenue. We've taken in over $1 billion
We started a mitigation fund a few years ago. It currently has $4 million in it, and nothing can come out of that fund without a two-thirds vote of the legislature. Initiating sewer expansion, L-44, okay? Without impacting anybody in the sewer area or outside of the sewer area, we passed a betterment, which was about $4 million. The 201 lots on, that will benefit from getting the town sewer will pay for that construction cost, and hopefully $280,000 to $290,000, 90,000 gallons a day will get over to our wastewater treatment plant. You know, work with state legislatures. Legislators, we got a vehicle for the OPEB problem, and then we started funding that. And you know, Selectman Tavares and myself, a year or so ago, we very contentious 2-to-1 vote. We enacted Section 19. Which allowed us to collaborative bargain health care.
Thank you very much, John Mahoney. Now let's go to Kevin Tonchi.
All right, this is a question for both candidates, and it's my way of putting both candidates on the spot. It's also to see who is focused on this race, what the issues are, and the person who's currently holding the office. What has the current state representative failed to do during his time in office that you will make a priority upon being elected?
Okay, let's start this time with John Mahoney.
Well, Kevin, obviously in this district, you've got a nuclear power plant, there's an opioid issue, we've got antiquated infrastructure. I can tell you one of the things that is very frustrating is that we have a 400th anniversary coming up. I sat with Governor Baker a year or so ago, and I told him that Jamestown, Virginia, which was a community that was lasted 2 or 3 years, in 2007 had a $30 million budget. Half of that came from the Commonwealth of Virginia, and the other half came from the federal government and private sector corporations. We got $100,000 in fiscal year 17 from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. It's a $42 billion business. We got $100,000. That is woefully inadequate. And I can tell you right now, it's unacceptable.
Same question, Stephen Michael Palmer.
You know, it's funny because we have two Republicans up at the State House. You know, one's the senator and one's the representative. And, you know, we have a Republican governor, but, you know, override that with the House and the Senate being majority with Democrats, and I think the Republican Party up there, that we, the delegation that we sent to Plymouth, is useless. I believe in John, what John was saying, that, you know, here we are, you know, $39.1 billion with revenue, and, you know, they can't come up with $1 million for, you know, 2002, the celebration of Plymouth. It's sad, you know, and then I find out that, you know, Matt had a, his only bill up at the State House was not to have retail workers get $16 in overtime money. Never mind all the special interest groups' money. They're all puppets on string up there.
Thank you. That was Stephen Michael Palmer. Question, Charles Mathewson.
If elected, you will face a piece of legislation proposed by the Plymouth County Commissioners that will affect all of the counties, and that is to increase the deeds excise tax that people pay when they buy a house, sell a house, from the 89% that goes to the state currently to a larger share to go to the counties. Would you vote yes or no for a larger share to go to the counties? John Mahoney.
All right, so Charles, they're not increasing the tax. They just want a larger share piece of the pie, correct?
Correct.
Well, I haven't been happy with county government, especially the county commissioners, the last couple of years, and I probably don't have enough time in this forum to address that. So I would put a couple of conditions on that, Charlie. If any of the incremental revenue is going to come back to Plymouth County, I want jobs reinstated at the Registry of Deeds, okay? That's one. That is first and foremost. The only thing sustainable in county government right now in Plymouth County is the Registry of Deeds, as far as coming, you know, a private sector business comparison. So first of all, once again, I want jobs reinstated at the Registry of Deeds. And the second thing is, they can't double their pay again, okay?
You're referring to the commissioners.
The commissioners. 4 years ago, two of them got elected. They instantaneously doubled their pay overnight, and I am fearful that if you give them more revenue, they'll do the same thing, give themselves another raise, which, obviously is right in Stephen's alley as far as political hackdom.
Thank you very much.
Stephen Michael Palmer, would you vote to increase the county's share of the deeds excise tax?
Never, never, never. No.
Well, why is that?
They're stealing enough of our money, of the town's money. It's our money. I mean, we live here. We pay the taxes.
Okay, just to be sure you understand the question. Anyone who sells a house pays this tax, sometimes called a stamp tax. And the state...
I heard what you said. I understood what you said. Okay. No, I don't want the money go to the commission.
What would you do to help small business on the South Shore, specifically in your district, Stephen Michael Palmer?
Well, I've lived in Plymouth for a while, and when I ran against Murray, I was hoping she was going to get indicted on the probation scandal, but she came up with $250,000 for the lawyer, and DeLeo came up with another $300,000 for a lawyer, and they walked, and, the U.S. attorney let him go. So anyways, that question came up before, and I feel that agriculture should be a big part of this town. Agriculture should be, we live in Plymouth, and the agriculture is not working in Plymouth. There's nothing being grown here. I mean, grow some corn on the prison land over there. That hasn't been done in years, and I feel that, we could go into dairy products as well. I mean, we've got to get back to basics here. I mean, how many more car dealerships we need in Plymouth? How many more stores? We got Stop and Shop. We have Market Basket now, and I've been here for 17 years, and it's not working.
Thank you very much. So, same question, John Mahoney.
I reference the economic development director that we have in the town of Plymouth, as good as it gets in the Commonwealth, and the best examples right now in the town of Plymouth, Massachusetts, are the industrial park in North Plymouth, which was executed by the Plymouth Industrial Development Corporation from 62 to 2012, in the industrial park over in Camelot. The Board of Selectmen, or as a state legislature, has to give these individuals that we hire to get economic development for us, you've got to give them the tools to succeed. And obviously, we've got to find the land so that we can replicate those two industrial parks. Because it's not just about tax revenue, it's about jobs and businesses locally. And then the other thing is, we needed a massive snowstorm, or multiple snowstorms, early in 15 to tell us that the infrastructure that runs the MBTA is completely antiquated. We're trying to run a 21st century city here with 1960s technology. You need $10 billion yesterday to get that mass transit system up to where it should be.
Thank you. That was John Mahoney. Questions for the candidates? Mr. Tachi.
As I like to do, I like to take a look at your website and kind of get a better idea of the two candidates that we're going to have before us. Now, I don't know who you want me to ask the first question to. We'll start with John. John, on your website, you state that improving the state's infrastructure is going to be important to commercial and residential growth in the district. What manner and method do you propose the state should invest in roads, bridges, transit systems to help the growth continue? As far as how should the state pay for this?
I'm a huge proponent of earmarking, okay? A tax is only as good as what you do with it. I referenced earlier the meals tax, okay? Putting all new revenue into the general fund doesn't work. We sponsored a home rule petition. We culled that revenue out. We put it into an interest-bearing account. We put money to work for ourselves instead of putting it to work against ourselves. Textbook example, excise tax, Plymouth, Massachusetts. $7.7 million in revenue, in theory, is for roads. We don't put a penny into roads. This year, we're going to go over $8 million in revenue. Nothing into roads. We have $135 million exposure for roads, 400 miles. So if the earmarking had begun at the inception of that tax, which I believe was in 1981, and we had just earmarked at least 50% of that revenue on an annual basis, you have zero exposure as far as it comes to roads. So I will never support a new tax at the state level that a local community has the autonomy to bury into their general fund. It doesn't work.
Thank you. That's a minute. question for Mr. Palmer.
Stephen, you're running as a Democrat in this race. You are running as a Democrat in this race. Make sure I spit that out correctly. Yet on your website, you blame liberals on Beacon Hill for continuously taxing and spending on the backs of working people. What do you say to people who would question your criticism of Democrats as you seek the party's nomination in September?
Well, I'm a working-class American, Irish Catholic Democrat, you know, over the West 4th Street Bridge, Gatehead Parish, 7th, 3rd. But, you know, don't let the white shirt and tie fool you. You know, I'm the guy out there, you know, cleaning the streets. You know, I go to these selectmen's meetings, and I go to the planning board meetings, and I go to these meetings, and the fact is, you know, I might as well go pick up trash because they're making, you know, mistakes up the yin-yang. You know, it's terrible to see it. And I don't want to waste my time with it. You know what I mean? It's a $40 million mistake with the sewer line. It's a mistake with the new town hall. You know, it just keeps going on. I said, I've got to do something that's going to make a difference, you know.
But why
the liberals, the liberals. I'm not a liberal, okay?
So then what are you?
I believe in working class people.
Then what are you? Are you a dino? Are you a rhino? Are you an independent? What are you?
Listen, I'm going up to the state house because I don't have a democracy up there. I have a democracy, okay? And I was born a Democrat, baptized a Catholic.
Okay. Just wanted to know.
Okay.
You got it.
Thank you. That was Stephen Michael Palmer. Now, Charlie, questions?
You each have very different experience, and I'd like to hear from you how you think your experience benefits you. Stephen Michael Palmer, you've been a town meeting rep in two towns, correct?
Yes, sir.
And John, you've served on several committees in the town of Plymouth.
That's correct.
How does that differentiate you and prepare you to be state rep? John Mahoney.
Charlie, I have a degree from Bridgewater State in business management. Obviously, the people that know me that, you know, in my spare time, I'll go on to you know, websites and look at statistics for baseball players. So I bring an analytical, statistical, you know, kind of approach to this, all right? The fact of the matter is, you, in the private sector, the single greatest thing you do with money is you put it to work for you. You don't put it to work against you. I get frustrated by how we treat money. I feel some of Mr. Palmer's frustrations. It is not my intent to layer debt on the next generation. The town of Plymouth has a lot of potential, and I feel that we can't maximize that potential because we're always dealing with the mistakes of the past. So in my 8 years on the Board of Selectmen, it is a graduate level class equivalency in political science or public administration. And if you want more information, raise your hand and they'll give you more. And I look at this stuff and it's giving me a well-rounded approach.
Thank you very much. It's a minute, I know. It's tough when you're getting your
It's all right, here. Christine.
That's okay. Well, same question, Stephen Michael Palmer.
Yes, thank you. You know, I worked for the Harvard Faculty Club for 5 years, and I moved up to the rank of officer there in the 80s. And I helped Ray Flynn get in office as well as Ed King. And I've run for political office because I feel that I can make a difference, you know. And I've seen political parties come and go, and you know, from Democrat to Republican. And I feel as a working class American, I feel that I can make a change up there. I'm looking for a change. Maybe that sounds, you know, it's a common sense. I heard one of the candidates say, we have common sense. I have common sense. I know what's right and what's wrong. And I know that the state government is ripping off the Commonwealth of Massachusetts taxpayers. And I'm not going up there to, I'd rather not take special interest groups money and lose then take special interest groups' money and win. The old saying is,
5 seconds.
Try and fail, but don't fail to try.
Okay, that's Stephen Michael Palmer. I want to go to the lightning round now. I'm going to start with you, Kevin Tachi. Questions for the candidates. Remember, this is lightning round. The reporter will ask you either yes or no for an answer or two sentences tops. Kevin Tachi.
This question I'm going to ask, it's a yes or no, but I will give leniency of two sentences if they want to add, they want to kind of expand upon it. Does the Prop 2.5, does Proposition 2.5 need to be modified to better fund local government and education in local communities?
Two sentences. Let's start with you, Stephen Michael Palmer.
I think it's a good thing. I feel that if you can override it for education, that's very important.
Okay. Same question.
You asked modification.
Should it be modified?
I'd have to look at that, Kevin. I can tell you right now that, obviously, the town of Plymouth in the recent past has never had to go for a 2.5.
Sentences. It's tough, isn't it? I know.
Forgot.
That's okay.
I'm sorry, Christine. We only see each other every 3 years.
Every 2 years, I think. Charles Mathewson, question. Lightning round.
We'll come back to that.
A similar question. Do you think 40B needs to be modified? John Mahoney.
Absolutely. Back to the drawing board.
Same question, Stephen Michael Palmer.
I agree with John.
Okay. Common Core, for or against? Stephen Michael Palmer.
I'm against it.
Okay. Common Core, John Mahoney.
If you're the state with the number one public education in the United States of America, something's going right.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying it doesn't need to be tweaked, but I think you're 75% there.
Okay, thank you. Lightning round, Mr. Tachi.
Would you ever support or vote for open road tolling? Yes or no?
Open road what?
Open road tolling.
Tolling.
Yeah, instead
no.
of a...
No, no.
Okay.
I would say no. You want me to answer that?
Yeah,
Kevin, I say no, but something tells me that's inevitable.
Okay. Lightning round question, Charlie.
Stephen, give me three traits that you have that would make you best for the job.
Honesty, integrity, endurance.
Same question, John Mahoney.
Hardworking, the ability to think outside the box, and obviously, I think very, Charlie, most importantly, the ability to think long-term.
Okay. I want to give you a chance now to ask each other a question if you want to, because we've got a little bit of time here. Stephen Michael Palmer, do you have a question for John Mahoney?
Yes, my worthy candidate this year, John. I brought this up last time. I want to bring it up again. I know that you're pro-union and you work for a union shop, and all your flyers are done by the union printer. I was wondering if you gave the guy in the middle, the working class guy, any of your money to print any of your flyers.
Well, Stephen, you did ask me this question 2 years ago, and I want to remind you that union members are working class people, and I can't apologize.
No, the guy in the middle isn't union.
Who's the guy in the middle? I don't understand that.
The guy that is in union that's trying to, the small businessman that's trying to get a printing shop together, you know, printing out flyers or
okay.
printing out business
so
cards.
So would your question be, would you consider giving your job to a non-union shop? Because that would be
Thank
more...
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Right. I've always asked, I've always advocated, I'm a member of the building trades, I've always advocated for a level playing field. I think the great example of that is the Massachusetts School Building Fund. If you look at the bid processes, when you look at North High School, the execution of that came in on time, on budget, and half of the trades.
Just answer the question, yes or no.
Well, it's has more of the... Okay, there you go. That he did have more, but if you're satisfied. Now, do you have a question for Mr. Palmer, Mr. Mahoney?
Stephen, what's your opinion on the 400th anniversary, and what kind of funding levels would you seek to provide the town of Plymouth with?
Not a penny of the taxpayers of Plymouth should pay any of the celebration money. I live in Plymouth, and it's very expensive, and I don't need another tax to celebrate it. First of all, I'm not a pilgrim. My ancestors came from the under the Statue of Liberty, you know. Give me your tired, give me your poor, give me your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wrecked refuge of your teething shore, send me these, the tempered tossed. I left my lamp beside the golden door. I'm not a pilgrim.
Okay. What we're going to do now is we're going to go to final statements, and I believe we started with you at the beginning, Stephen. So now we're going to switch the order. We're going to end with John Mahoney, then we're going to go to Stephen Michael Palmer.
Christine, Kevin, Charlie, and Jeffrey, thanks for having me in tonight. Stephen, good to seeing you again.
Always a pleasure.
I look forward to the next month. On the campaign trail, I just want to remind everybody that the primary this year looks like there's kind of a curveball. It's on a Thursday, September 8th, if you can mark your calendar.
especially for those not only around the Commonwealth, but in the First Plymouth District. So I want to touch on a couple of things that came up here earlier tonight. And, you know, you hear conservatism all the time. I never hear anybody define it. Okay? And we talk about this being fiscally conservative. But there is a perverse, distorted definition of that. And I see it at the local level in that there's some sort of belief that if you don't construct, modernize, or maintain your infrastructure correctly, somehow that results in lower property taxes. It doesn't. It unnecessarily adds, and especially in Plymouth's case, tens and hundreds of millions of dollars unnecessarily into your financial budget. To get up there and say no to something doesn't necessarily mean that you're a conservative. We need to maintain buildings. We need to build them correctly. We want to pay our workers, whether they're union or non-union, a rate where they can get by. Get ahead, as opposed to just struggling to get by. I want the workers in Plymouth, Massachusetts, to look at the surrounding communities, you know, the Kingston, the Pembroke, the Wareham, and the Bourne's, and know that they're either on an equal stage with that, those surrounding communities, or that they're above them, and they're not enticed to go to where the grass might necessarily be greener. My name is John Mahoney. I'm running for the 1st Plymouth District, the seat of state representative. I bring almost 10 years of experience under my belt in the town of Plymouth. I'm a dedicated public servant. I'm not a politician. I just want to be a good elected official, and that's my singular purpose.
Thank you very much. That was 2 minutes. Good. Your closing statement, Stephen Michael Palmer now.
Yes, people have told me I haven't had a fundraiser, and I'm going to have a fundraiser at my baseball field, the one I've taken care of 6 years at the Ponds of Plymouth. Stay tuned. You know, tonight we're not here to talk about troublesome international affairs, or we're here to talk of the large domestic problems and the consideration in our nation's capital. Those problems of the world seem to us large, incomprehensible, unmanageable, and out of touch with our day-to-day lives. But what we are here to talk about tonight are the problems that begin at home, the comprehensible, manageable problems that can be solved with care, action, and commitment by the people that are listening tonight. I come as a representative of the Democratic Party, the party that will stand for the working class, for the guy in the middle who doesn't think he has say in matters anymore because he can and he won't play the political ball game. The common cause of America started with Hancock, Adam, and Revere, the Sons of Liberty. These three men fought for liberty, justice, and freedom. I'm disgusted with state government that has replaced my democracy with special interest groups, political action committee fundings for candidates, as well as lobbyists and greed. Instead, the British are coming. The lobbyists and special interest groups are here, under your golden dome. Whatever happened to the common cause of the working class? For now, people in Plymouth, if a homeowner fixes up his house, he or she is penalized for this act. In America's hometown, they'll tax them for improving their home. You know what this is? This is modern day tyranny, taxation without representation. My state government has turned against its people. Instead of taking up your arms as Hancock, Adam, and Revere did, take yourself to vote this time against the oppressors at the state house. In the words of liberty, freedom, and justice, I support the working class of Plymouth. Vote Stephen Michael Palmer.
Thank you very much.
Town meeting member.
Thank you very much. Of course, you've been listening to WATD Political Forum here on 95.9 FM in Marshfield, the South Shore's news and information station. Primary night, that's September 8th. You've been listening to Stephen Michael Palmer, John Mahoney, 1st Plymouth District. We'll bring you all the information on primary night. Thank you, Kevin Tachi, Charles Matthews, and Jeffrey Morrison, right here on 95.9 WATD.
You going to recycle this?
95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com, the South Shore's news, weather, and traffic station.